This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family G. Klein, the Chavad Simchas Hanasurim, Shel Pini Isla, and Esther Dunner. Test Shavat, Erev Shabbos, 14th of January, Rabbi David Zahn, acting on impulse.
Good morning, Shalom Aleichem. As I had the words taken out of my mouth, it wasn't written, but if I would have to give a title, acting on impulse. Acting on impulse, we're brought up. That's our chinuch. That's how we try and mechanech our children as well. It's not a good thing to do. You don't act on impulse. You go shopping with a credit card. You don't go act. You don't an impulse. You don't got to think. Heaven musunim badin. Kal v'chaimer ben benoishal kal v'chaimer. When it comes to reacting into interpersonal relationships with on the chaveroi, is acting on impulse is a very dangerous thing. One has to be. One has to take things easy. One has to be patient. However, coming from the parasha, we can see there are occasions when it's very important, it's imperative, it's a mitzvah to act on impulse. Oz Yashir Moshe. We all know Oz Yashir. So Rashi already is puzzled. Why the Torah write Oz Yashir? Then Moshe will sing. Moshe will sing? Moshe sang. Oz Yashir. Then Moshe will. Why the Lashon Oz?
Could it mean both?
No, you hear it, it's a future tense, Yashir. It doesn't normally mean that he sang.
He
sang.
Sorry?
So Rashi's puzzled by it. So in the second chat, Rashi says it's referring to Mikan Tchias HaMesim in Atayra, that Moshe Rabbeinu will sing Oz Yashir then. But Rashi at the beginning brings a different chat. And he brings proofs that Oz, when the Torah writes such an expression, Yashir, Oz Kishara HaNes, Ola Belibay Sheyashir Shira. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Ness of Kriyas Yamsuf, then he decided that he has to sing Shira. And Rashi proves that when it writes in the future tense, this is contained in that future tense. This is the meaning. V'cheini brings proofs Oz Yedabe Yehoshua, also Choshav Beliboy, Moshe Yeshua thought, and he brings various proofs. Bekitzer, Oz Yosher Moshe means Moshe Rabbeinu decided that you have to sing. He wants to sing Shira. Ola Beliboy. So the future tense gives over. There was a sort of a discussion in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind. He was a to and fro, should we sing Shira? And he decided they should sing Shira.
Why is that a different decision?
Sorry, what?
A different decision.
Oh, right. Oh, hit the point. Hit the nail on the head. So the question is, so what's the Shira? Why should you sing Shira? You see a Ness. You sing Shira. Why shouldn't you sing Shira? And furthermore, if we were to say that the future tense gives over the meaning that what was done was preceded by a machshava, by a decision-making process, whatever a person does is pursued. Whatever a person decides to, the person lifts up his hand, and the brain tells the hand to lift up. There's a decision before, it's preceded. So obviously, whenever a person talks or thinks or eats or walks or sleeps, whatever, it's preceded by a machshava. So what's the chiddush? Oz Yashir Moshe decided to do it. Of course, he decided to do it. Whenever anyone does anything, they decide to do it. Another question, we've already discussed. Chazal say, everyone knows, Bikshu Malachi Ashores Loim Ashira. The Malachi Ashores saw Kriyas Yamsuf and they wanted to say Shira. The Bereshim said, Maisa Yodai Tovim Bayam Matav Oimim Shira. My creations are drowning. You think I'm happy about this? Tovim Bayam. The Bereshim doesn't want to punish Hashem. He wants them to do Shira. If they don't do Shira, they have to be not particularly excited about it. Maisa Yodai Tovim Bayam Oimim Shira. So the question is, but Moshe Rabbeinu Klaus, what's the difference in the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu Klaus? So Bemis, before we answer that question, that would, if we see there are or there is already a Shaila, whether one can say Shira, because the Malachim weren't allowed to say Shira, then we can understand Moshe Rabbeinu's got a Shaila. But Shaila, what's the Shaila? Why not? Why did the Malachim not say Shira? But the fact that they weren't allowed to say Shira, that obviously is the basis for Moshe Rabbeinu's Sofik, whether he should say Shira. But he decided, even though the Malachim weren't able to say Shira, but we will say Shira. Oz Yashir Moshe. So Shaila's why? Why could the Malachim not say Shira? Why was Moshe allowed to say Shira? That's what we need to understand. But he understood for the same reason that they wouldn't say, he might also not want to say. They didn't say, because my fellow Tavim Bayam, she was in love. We'll come back to that later, Mr. Hashem. Everyone knows, Shvi Shel Pesach is a Yom Tov. Shvi'isha Pesach is a yom tov. Pasuk says, Parshas Re'eh, Sheish is yom teicha matzis, v'yayim ha'shvi atzeres ha'shem aleikach ha'mitzas ha'malocha. The seventh day Pesach is a yom tov. The Sipurna, Afanot, asks a question, an interesting question. He says, why on earth should the seventh day of Pesach be a yom tov more than the seventh day of Sukkot? We know this. Anything that Shmini Atzeres, Shmini Atzeres is regular b'fnei asma. It's a different yontif. So pastayish Shmini Atzeres, it's a different yontif. That doesn't count. It's not. You don't say chag asukas. You don't shake the nubi. It's the sukkah. In that soil, upon it is asafek tesipuna. Why is Shmini shall Pesach a yontif? Why is it a yontif? The sukkah, the seventh day, is not a yontif. So the sipuna writes as like, the Torah refers to Shmini shall Pesach as Atzeres. What's the meaning of Atzeres? Says Rashi, here's the Sipurna, Netzu bo Yisrael yachtov la'avodas hakel. Klal Yisrael gathered together for avodas hakel, b'shoru le'shvira b'shvira shel Pesach, chag ha'matzis. And they sang the Shira. Netzu, there's an atzeres, they joined together, and they sang Shira. Lefikach, nikdash oysa hayoyim, that's why shvira shel Pesach is a yontov, v'lo yisa ha'sem alocha, kilu le'zeh, if not for the fact they sang Shira, lo yihoyo ha'shvi kodesh klal. Shvishim wouldn't be the yontif. K'moy shehua inyan b'chag asukas she'ein ha'shvish alei mikrakesh. The Purna says, he says, do you know why the shvish ha'pesach is a yontif? It's called atzeres. Atzeres means a gathering together. Kaitel gathered together to sing the shira, and that's why it's a yontif. She'ilulei zeh, if not for the fact they gathered together to sing shira, it wouldn't be the yontif. Why was that? It's mechatei shvish yontif. Why is shvish ha'pesach different to shvish asukas? So it's very difficult to understand. Because how on earth could you compare the seventh day of Pesach to 7 days of Sukkot? What happened on the seventh day of Sukkot? Nothing to say. They sat in the Sukkot, and they covered there. There was no ischadshus. There was nothing new which took place on the seventh day of Sukkot. On the seventh day of Pesach was Kriyas Yam Suf. Is that not enough of a reason? We celebrate the Pesach, the Nisim, etc. Is the nest of Kriyas Yam Suf not enough of a reason to be Masakin a Yontum? And the Sipurna says it can only be the She'ilulei Zeh, if not for the fact they sang the Shira, it would not have been a Yontum. Why should that be? That's what we need to understand. It's well known the Maisa which took place Be'elyo Bahar HaKarmel. The Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel took place during the reign of the King Achav. Achav HaMelech was married to Izebel. Izebel introduced into Klal Yisrael the Avodah Zarah of Baal, and there were 400 Nevi'ei HaBaal, and they were leading Klal Yisrael astray. And Eliyahu Novi challenged them on Har HaKarmel to build a Mizbeach, and they'll see whether they're both the Nevi'ei HaBaal and Eliyahu Novi would try and bring down an Eish Min HaShemayim, and see who would answer the Avodah Zarah or the Rebbeinu Shleim. And Nevi Abal, the Pasuk says, shouted and yelled the whole day and nothing happened. And Eliyahu taunted them. He says, oh, perhaps he's sleeping, perhaps he's gone out. And nothing happened. And then Eliyahu Novi came, Ahi Balis HaMincha, came to the time of Mincha. Eliyahu Novi was misfal, a short tefillah, and the Eish came down in Hashemayim. Vayakalam, Vayemru Hashem, Hu Hu Elikim, Hashem, Hu Hu Elikim. It was a gewaldig kiddush Hashem. Everyone saw the sheker of Baal and the emes of the Rebbeinu Shleilam. And then Eliyahu set out to be killed the 400 Nevi'ei HaBaal. That was the Maisa of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Immediately following the next Perek, the Pasuk continues. The Pasuk says that Izebel, Achav got home, apparently she wasn't there. Achav went home, and he told Izebel what happened. He said that, you know, then we were defeated, so to speak, and that Eliyahu Novi proved he was right, and Nevi'ei HaBaal were killed. So the Pasuk says, Izebel sent a message to Eliyahu, and she said, Macha, tomorrow, ani osim es nafshecha kenefesh echad mehem. I'm going to deal with you the way you dealt with them. You killed the fun. Tomorrow, we're going to get even. So the Pasuk says, what was Eliyahu Hanavi's reaction to this threat? He said, so Eliyahu Hanavi ran away. He went to Midbar Be'sheva. He went south. He went to Be'sheva. He was at Carmel. He went south to Be'sheva. And he hid in the Midbar. And he was terrified. And it says, Vayvakish es nafshet lomus. Even damas and berishim take away his mishamba because his end will get hold of him. Who knows what she'll do, etc., etc. So I once heard the Shem Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, Roshiva, Baltimore, Nei Yisrael. He asked two questions. He asked one question. He says, Izebel said, Macha, tomorrow I'm going to deal with you. So he said, and he's obviously speaking for an American audience, he says, why tomorrow? Why not today? Get the Matthew. He says, it wasn't tomorrow. Today, it wasn't tomorrow. She gave advance warning what she's going to do. She won't do it. What's this whole early warning system what she intends to do? Number one. Number two, he asked Akasha, he says, why was Eliyahu HaNavi so afraid? When Eliyahu HaNavi at the Har HaKamel killed the 400 Nevi'im, but did anybody stop him? No one stopped. Why? Because everyone saw Hashem who Elohim. They all saw in front of their eyes Hashem who Elohim. And therefore he had free reign to do what he wanted. And he killed them all and no one lifted a finger. So they could see that he was right. So all of a sudden, he gets a threat from his devil and he gets all nervous. What's this? No one stopped him before. No one will stop him now. That's what he asked. So he said, one question answers the other. He said, do you know why Zebel couldn't carry out her threat today? Why did it have to be Mocha? Because today, Elio was impregnable. He couldn't touch him today. Hashem, who Elohim, everyone could see. If she would have dared, no one would have listened to her command to do anything. And even they would have, the whole country would have risen up against her. You can see Elio, Hashem, who Elohim. It's such a tremendous ration. No one would dare lift a finger. No one would ever stick up for him. However, how long are people under the spell of this impression, of this ration, this is Iris, which is, how long does it last? If something happens in the world, and whatever it is, there's a floods or there's a tsunami. So the first day is on page one, the second day is on page two, and then that's the end of it. Everyone forgot about it. Gave weiter. Life carries on. So on the day when Eliyahu HaNavi did this lesson, Har HaKarmel, wow, Shemu Elikim, Moyerik, a tremendous chizuk. Everyone davened better that day. Everyone, it was fantastic. How long did it last? How long would it? So Ezela said, Macha. Tomorrow, there'll be a tomorrow. I know people. I understand human nature. That today everyone's overexcited, everyone's nisoyer, everyone's nischazik, but it's not going to last. Macha, tomorrow, yesh macha, tomorrow I'll get. Today I can't touch you. But tomorrow we'll sort things out. Eliyahu HaNavi understood this. Therefore, even though he saw that he was able to kill the 400 Nevi'i Habal, and no one so much as lifted a finger, because at the time, everyone was so excited, everyone was so under the ration, under the spell of the Ness. But he understood, Ezebel's right. There'll come a time when the ration, the impression will fade, it'll dim. Not that people will have forgotten, no one will forget that it took place, obviously. But people will be, the excitement and the chizm, that will wane. And people say, yes, it was fantastic, but it won't mean anything to them now. And therefore, she has the power to do what she threatens to do, and that's why he was afraid, and he ran to Midbar Be'er Sheva. Because this is the klal, the rule which we see from here is that however much a person is nisoyer, and like we all know by Ni'ilon Yom Kippur, but how long does it last? It doesn't necessarily last. If one doesn't positively set about working to hold on to the hisayus, to improve on it, to work upon it, then it'll wane. I've got a chava, he learned to be Yaakov Arish Shlomo Volbe, Zechayin Levracha. So, and Shlomo used to give this powerful drosha, a powerful shmuzim. And so this, he went over to Shlomo Volbe after one shmuz, he says, Rebbe, he says, what can I do? So I get such a chizuk from your shmuzim. I done such a wonderful ma'ariv. But after supper, finished. What do I do? He said to him, for my shmuzim, you done a better ma'ariv? He was delighted. Because that's the nature of a person. So a person can be literally on a spiritual high, and it doesn't have to last. That was the yisod which he's ever understood, mocha, which all of you also understood. Especially, sometimes, one of the reasons why this happens is because a person, we live in a physical world. We live, we eat, we drink, we do. Ruchnius, spirituality, is sometimes pushed to the back burner because we daven, we learn, we do mitzvahs, but a lot of the day, most of the day probably, we are Isaac in Yonam Gashmim. So when there comes a ruchas dike his iris, so it pushes its way through the mud, so to speak, of the gashmis, and it comes to the front. But really, it's covered, it's contained, and therefore, if it's not acted upon, then it just sort of sinks back in, and the person is mired in the physical. So that the person has a lack of vested interest. The negia of the person is the person has a vested interest. He lives in the gashmis. He lives in the adam is offer min adama, and offer min adama is a person who is more attracted by nature, by teva, to gashmis than he is to ruchnis. We learned last week said Santa Zach. Beis Rabbeinu came to Paray that koi omar Hashem kachatzis halayla. And the Yisim Metoich Mitzrayim. So everyone knows the Rashi. Rashi said Kachatzos. Rabbi said Bachatzos. He says because Moshe Rabbeinu said Hashemah who did it to the regal. If he could say Bahi Bachatzi Alayla, but if I say Bachatzos Alayla, and it won't happen at Chatzos, then the Tzagine Paro will come along and say it happened later. Moshe Badoyu. So once for the Moedik Ha'ora from the Rav Chassid Levinshtein, friend of Racha, he said like this. He says, can you imagine the scene on Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim, on the night of the 15th of Nisan, 2448, the night of Mitzrayim. So we're holding after 9 Bacchus. It's 11:30, half an hour before midnight. And all the Mitzrayim are sitting around the table. I mean, you might call it the Last Supper for the Bechayim. And they're sitting there, and the Bechayim know what to do with themselves. Everything Moshe Rabbeinu has said has come true. And they're sitting there. And it's getting 11:45, and it's getting later, and the coffee, tranquilizer, I don't know what word, 5 to 12, 2 minutes, a minute to 12, 30, 10 seconds, 10, 8, and 12 o'clock, Big Ben in Mitzrayim strikes 12, nothing happens, nothing happens. Second stroke of midnight, on the fourth stroke of midnight, all the Bukhari drop dead. All the Sagina Pamika Rakina, Moshe Badoyu. Moshe Goyim? The clock must be wrong. How on earth, what little Moshe Badoyu will fail? The Moshe Badoyu. You can see in front of your eyes, everything is happening exactly the way you predicted. I was on the fourth stroke of midnight, you better check Big Ben. There's something wrong with Big Ben, obviously. So what's the chat? He said, the chat is, you see from here, when a person has a vested interest, a person doesn't really want to accept. No, this is tagine pare. They damned it in Sfadeya, and they didn't really want to accept that Moshe Rabbeinu, well, Shmuel, who's got a bigger yichelus and the tithes of Shigar to Mitzrayim, and so they've got this thing. So if a person does not want to accept something, you can show him black on white. You can show him right in glorious technicolor, and he also won't accept it. So kal b'chomer. Even if a person sees it and the time is nisayra, but if there is a vested, even if the person did accept it at the time, but after a time, the vested interest of the person takes over, and therefore the ruchnistik is iris that he had goes to the inner recesses of his mind, and it waves and he forgets it. Perhaps this is the pshat in the Sepurna. The Sepurna writes, "She'il molei, if not for the fact, atzeres Hashem alikecho, if not for the fact that boy netzru Yisrael yachtov la'avedus hakeil, if not for this, then Shvi shel Pesach would not have been a yontov like Shvi shel Sukkos." So, what about Kriyas Yamsuf? What about Kriyas Yamsuf? The answer is, a ness is not a reason, funnily enough, to be kaveya a yontov. Because a ness happens when it happens, but it's short-lived. The roshim from the ness is short-lived. Therefore, if a ness happens at the time, everyone gets very excited. So what happens then? When is a ness bar kayoma? When does the lesson of the ness remain? If one learns up the ness, if one delves, one understands, one takes the ness to pieces at the time, what did we see here? What did we learn from this? Then the ness which one had, one has internalized the lessons of the ness. Then there's a chance that the roshim of the ness, because it's not just an external thing which a person has seen and said wow when they saw it, but it's become part of the person themselves. Then the ness is a bar kayoma. Then it's possible to be kaveya yonta for this ness. What did Klai Yisrael learn from the ness? Well, they saw the wonderful nisim, but they saw The midah keneged midah, stalu kaifes, that those mitzrayim who are semi decent, if there were such things, hayoreh esdavar Hashem, Rashi says, stalu kaifes, they had a quick death, they sunk like lead. Those who are less decent, yidmu ka'oven. The other tivleim kakash, they saw the precise hashgacha protis, the midah keneged midah. And when they saw this, they didn't just take it, wow, what a wonderful thing to see, but they analyzed what they saw. And they obviously took it to heart, and well, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to do, to take it to heart, to learn up from there. To have the Hashgacha of the Moshe is so precise and well defined, each one according to his own. It's well known. The Chazashi brings, Ro'asa Shifcha Alayon, Mashalay Ro'i Cheskel Ben Buzi. The Shifcha saw, the Hizgalus, the revelation of that hunger of the Moshe was so clear. Cheskel Ben Buzi himself, the Novi Cheskel, who saw the Eres Hashem Yeshua Kisei, who saw the Kisei HaKomet, which will be saying that the Maisa Merkava on Shavuos, about the Haftarah, and only the Zachar Kisei, the whole description of which Cheskel gives, of which is a whole perek and a half in Cheskel, the Shifcha saw even more than that. But she remained a Shifcha. Ross, she remained. If she saw this with such clarity, then she shouldn't have been a shifcha. The answer is here we have the we see clearly that someone who sees a nest but it remains external, they don't work upon the nest to internalize its lessons, they remain a shifcha. Ross, a shifcha, she saw. What happened to her? Nothing happened. She stayed the same. Abemus. So you do a shait and posuk, zeh keili vameh, zeh keili. This posuk actually says, zeh keili, rosa shifcha layon. So then there's a famous Targum Unklus. The Targum Unklus says, zeh keili va'anveyu, elekei ovi va'arimemenu. Says the Targum Unklus. What does it mean, va'anveyu? I will glorify him, we translate it. Rashi says also, Rashi brings the Targum, va'anveyu ve'ebnele magdash. This is, I will build the base of Migdash. Zeh keili va'anveyu, from Loshen Nove. I'll build them, zeh keili va'anveyu. I'll build the base of Midrash. What, the Midrash is going to build the base of Midrash? You haven't even got a Mishkan. What does it mean? They build the base of Midrash. We're not holding there. We're talking hundreds of years down the line. Shlomo HaMelech built the base of Midrash. The answer is, we see from here, if someone has this iris, one of the ways of prolonging the iris is by deciding to do something now. To say, this is what we're going to do. And to demonstrate, you know, they say, they're written all, I hope there are no smokers here, but I've seen written, one of the eights is to give up smoking, not that I smoke, but it's written, one is the person who wants to give up, should tell all his family he's giving up, and that creates a sort of a pressure that he won't. So Zer came around there, and Meshameh said, we're going to build the base on Migdash. I told everybody, we're going to build the base on Migdash. We're going to do it. Because, why? Because if you don't say it now in the heat of the moment, then perhaps the Rotsan and the Cheshik and the Shukah will wane. Zer came down there, the Ebnele Migdash. The Fizer, we can understand perhaps the difference between the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael. The Malachim, Bikshu Loi Mashira, Bikshu Malachi Hashoef Loi Mashira, Oma Kudush Baruch Hu, Maise Yodai Toivat Eimim Shira. This is not something I'm happy about. As we said, Kilachbeis will make some iskim shum rosh of the dark of the chayah. Hagam, that's the kashin Bavoid Rishalim Rina. It's a kashin of them. It's not, we'll go to this for a different time. Bavoid Rishalim Rina, it's happy. It's a happy time. But that's what Chazal tell us. Ashbuch said, you can't say Shira. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu say Shira? Now the answer is, because Malachim, as we know, have no Bechira, they're Oimdim. They don't get wetter, they don't get wetter. They are shluchim of the Bnei Shalom. They're given their tafkid, and this is what they do. And they sing shira to the Bnei Shalom, but they don't get better, they don't get worse. For them, shira is neither here nor there. It doesn't prevent them, it won't make them be any better, it won't stop them getting any worse if they say shira, because they are oimdim. So therefore, since the shira is not necessary for them, the Bnei Shalom said, Ma'athiyot tovim bayom, you can't say shira, you're not allowed to say shira, Ma'athiyot tovim bayom. However, this one is different. Of Yoshe Moshe, Omo Belibo Shei Mashira. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that we're seeing Rasa Shifcha Layom Mashira. We're seeing the Valtig Zachem. We're seeing this Zer Keli Vavei. We're seeing Bechush. You can see Bechush there and Hogar of the Bonish Leilam. If we don't do something now to concretize, to set firmly this Roshan, the impression of what we've seen, then we're going to lose it. So I by Seyada Tovim Bayam. It's true, it can't be helped. Ola Belimboy, Shema Shira. His heart told him. Because Yodata Hayoim, A person can know something, but there's a long way between a person knowing something and a person actually feeling it to the metzius. Your data, we all know, everyone knows your data. You have to feel it with your heart, because it's what your heart, it's what your, the heart controls more than the seichel. The of a person is that the seichel should control the heart. Your data, it's Allah belimoy shiyay mashiyah. His heart told him that we've got to say shira, because if we don't say shira, then even though we understand with our seichel, we've seen what's happened, but we're liable to lose the whole roshan, the whole impression of what we've seen. If Mimela, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's shaila. Moshe Rabbeinu's shaila was that the malachim weren't allowed to say shira, because as they dav zayin, that's how it should be. The Matthew Tov Bayom, we shed a tear for the Mitzvah. We say half halal on the halal of the Pesach. We take a bit of wine for the Seder. We feel for their tragedy. However, we have to say shira. Because if we don't say shira to fully understand and internalize the lessons, then the whole exercise of creation will have been in vain. Because if that's what makes the yontif. Kriyas Yamtsov itself wouldn't have been made. That itself wouldn't have been a reason to make a yontif. And therefore, this actually serves, if I'm allowed to mention the word about Parsha Yisrael, it's not this week, but the first Rashi and Esbik Sedra, this is the lesson which the Daikin Musa says is contained in the first Rashi in Parsha Yisrael. Famous Rashi says, Vayishma Yisrael, Ma Shmua Shoma Obo, Kriyas Yamsov, Umilchemes Hamolik. So Makshim Olam, everyone asked the question, what's Rashi's Kashi? The Pasuk says, Vayishma Yisrael, Eskola She'osa, Elekim, Lemoshim, Salama, Kiyuz Hashem, Israel, Shem, Shem, the Pasuk, Mashmu Shom Obo. Well, what's the Kashi? Mashmu Shom Obo. The Pasuk says, wait. So the Mephoshim explained, the question is, Mashmu Shom Obo. He heard lots of things, but of all the things that he heard, what prompted him to come? Sometimes you hear a lot of things, but what particular point, what prompted him to come? Melchemes Yams, Kriya Melchemes Hamalek. Melchemes Hamalek, you should say the victory of Amalek. There was at the end of the parsha, we got Melchemes Hamalek. The war, they became, they heard of the war, they heard of the victory of Amalek. Vayachle Yeshua, as Amalek, as Amalek Fichar, the Caliphon defeated Amalek. So the chat is not the Dark in Busa, the chat is Azai. Yisrael saw, Vayishma Yisrael, that the whole world, heard of Christ. Shamu Amim Yergovim Chilochaz Yeshiprom Ozvay Eile Mergich. The whole world, including Amalek, were tittering, were trembling when they heard of Christ Yamsuf. They came to Bilam, the Chazar say, actually the Bereshit has destroyed the world, whatever. And then 3 weeks later, Vayovay Amalek. 3 weeks later, what happened? Amalek, you were trembling, you were terrified of Klal Yisrael. Yisrael saw that you can be, have a gevald against Eirus, Shamu Ami Yergozim, and 3 weeks later it's Ke'ilu Loi Hoya. It's all gone in a puff of smoke. There's nothing left. It's all gone. Ad Kedei Kach, you can come and fight Klal Yisrael. So Yisrael said, Vayishma Yisrael. He said, perhaps Yisrael would have thought, after he heard all the this in the Mitzrayim, no, I'll be an Elecha Goyen in Midyan, you know, I could be a God-fearing citizen, and whatever, and keep Zionist and Beberch. Yeah, you can't. Because if you have a Hisairus, and you don't do anything about it, you lose it. It's gone. And the proof is, Kriyas Yamsov and Melchemes Amalek. So we see from here, however incorrect it is to act upon impulse, and it is incorrect, mostly, when it comes to Inyonim Ruchniyim, this is the way to go. Because if you bow, since the Ruchniyus of a person, we said before, is buried deep within his heart, when a machshava toiva emerges, when it's a machshava toiva of chizuk, in davening, in learning, in stock, in chesed, whatever it should be, then it's got to be acted upon straight away. Because if it's not acted upon straight away, it doesn't have to be out, but if it's not acted upon straight away, then in all likelihood, within minutes, seconds, hours, whatever, it'll just dissipate. And we all know ourselves, sometimes we get excited about something, and then we don't do anything, and it just fades. If a person has such impulses, on the Kayim, Mekayim, Mekayim, it's a Gavaldi, it's a Kedusha Dikazach, and they need to be nurtured, and cultivated, and brought out to their full. They should help Taka. We should always be Zeicha to have such Chizukim, such Yisayus, and to nurture them and cultivate them. This will ultimately be Mekav, Kodesh Leim, Heir of Yomei.